some terror.
So you received an anonymous Bible in the mail.
I received.
With no return address.
Yeah, an anonymous Bible. And it had a.
But you got a letter.
Yeah, it has a letter that says, like, thank you for making the decision. Well, it lists a church, but, like, it's thanking me for making the important decision last Sunday to give my life to Jesus, which I did not make that decision last Sunday, to my knowledge.
Maybe you did in your heart and you didn't even realize it.
Apparently. But it's also creepy because I was playing around with a Ouija board the other day and I'm like, do they know, like, that I was talking to spirits?
100%.
And now they know, like, you need an exorcism.
Maybe you were talking to God.
Maybe I was.
No. Cool. Hey guys, welcome to Three Creeps. What up, sluts? We're gonna talk about crazy news articles, horror films, of course. What the fuck else do we talk about? Chelsea's hungover, so we're gonna hold her up on our shoulders.
I am not hungover, by the way. I said I was. I would like to clarify for the record that I actually said I was emotionally drained, and Sarah just assumed that was some sort of.
Chelsea's in denial.
I was drunk on life, and now I am drained.
Well, we're here to lift you up with happiness and horror.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And creepiness.
Absolutely. So, first article was posted in the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. So, that exists. And the headline is, Haunted House Reports on the Rise During Pandemic, says paranormal researcher. The new normal is bringing out the paranormal, says paranormal researcher John E.L. Tenney. Tenney, a paranormal researcher and former host of TV's Ghost Stalkers, says he used to receive 2 to 5 calls a month from people convinced their homes are haunted. But since the COVID-19 restrictions started, he says he gets 5 to 10 calls a week.
Damn.
These include everything from the typical knocking noises and footsteps in the hallway to some very new strange occurrences, like people hearing whispered voices through their television sets or getting text messages from a long deceased friend or relative. So
what? That's very specific. How
text messages from the dead?
Yeah,
and I mean, it sounds like he's talking about one specific incident, but he's saying, I mean, multiple people are getting text messages from dead friends, apparently.
What the fuck?
I haven't gotten any yet myself, but
I've never even heard of that. Okay. I feel like people are just home and they're bored and they want some shit to talk about. And so they're just fucking making stuff up. I don't know. Canada too. So they're even more bored.
Have you guys noticed any weird phenomena in your own homes?
No.
No.
You guys are boring. I talk to ghosts like all the time. I played with a Ouija board the other night.
So, okay, have you actually ever had, like, something you would consider, like, a paranormal experience?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, big time. Sure.
Oh, well, Sarah has. Have you heard Sarah's story, Chelsea?
I have. Sarah
what?
Really creeped me
Can
out.
I tell you?
You told,
I
didn't know. We all talked about this on Thanksgiving. We, like, went around and told ghost stories.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. Did I tell you, Izzy?
Oh, yeah, you told me.
Oh, okay.
And I've told multiple people since.
You guys want me to quickly tell it? Like, as fast as I can.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
We could try it and if it doesn't work. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, 10 years ago, my friend Vivi and I stayed at that blue motel across the street from Hollywood High.
I've stayed there too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little scuzzy, sleazy motel.
Well, which one? There's two blue hotels, isn't there?
It's called like the Hollywood Hotel or Hotel Hollywood or something.
I don't remember the name of it. I just know it's blue is all I remember. It's kind of next to In-N-Out, like across the street from In-N-Out. Anyway. I get in the shower, get out of the shower. I see that Vivian's laying in bed and I'm like, oh, it's bedtime. So I shut off the lights and I climb into bed next to her and we're like laying there and she's like slowly starts like humping me, but not sexually, just like, almost like what a little kid would do, like hump you. And after a while I was like, dude, what is going on with you? And I like get up out of bed and the fucking front door of our hotel room opens and Vivian is standing there. She was out in the car getting, I don't know, getting something out of the car. And we both fucking flip out. I'm like, there's somebody in the room. I'm not even thinking like ghosts or shit. I'm thinking like some fucking creep is in there. And we're like looking under the bed, looking in the bathroom. Nobody's there. So then we go get the blow up mattress because we're like, fuck this. We're not sleeping on that bed. So we go and blow up the blow up mattress. and we like cram it against the corner of the room. And she's like uneasy. I'm fucking uneasy. And we're like going to sleep. And like things are kind of calming down. Things are getting cool. Going to sleep. And literally, it sounds like somebody, like a kid, just like came at like a barrel run from the bathroom and jumped in the middle of our blow up mattress. And she went flying out and I went against the wall. And then we were like, fuck this place. Let's get the fuck out of here. And so we did not stay the night. That's my story.
Damn.
Tell it a little more eloquently in person when I'm drunk, but basically.
Well, the thing that really stood out for me about it was your reaction was like that it wasn't a ghost, that there was someone in the room with you.
For sure. Yeah. No, my mind doesn't immediately.
Which is like terrifying.
Yeah, for sure.
That's scarier.
Oh, yeah.
A real person can harm me more than a ghost can.
No, yeah. And it makes it feel like, you know, valid in a different kind of way. Because immediately, no offense, Chelsea or Sarah, anytime anyone ever tells me they have had a paranormal experience, my initial reaction is, no, you didn't. I don't believe that happened.
I kind of go to that conclusion too. I'm with you. Yeah.
And not that I don't believe in that sort of thing. I just think that, you know, either it's such a widespread phenomenon that so many people have had an experience, or it's in the kind of popular canon and everyone just sort of uses that to project a seemingly normal experience onto something like that, right? And so totally. You kind of want it to happen to a degree, or expect it to happen. But I don't know. I mean, the way you described that, it was like your mind wasn't even in that headspace of
no,
like,
there's no high strangeness going on. We weren't like, ooh, let's be weird, you know, like not even like a conversation about ghosts or fucking anything.
Yeah, it was like it didn't even strike. It was like you had a physical encounter with something, and then retroactively went, there's no other explanation for this other than something along those lines.
Dude,
which is
in the room. Terrifying. Yeah.
But where do you stand on Ouija boards then? Because like, who's sending me messages if it's not the ghost?
Where do I stand on Ouija boards? I think they're incredibly fun. I think I've used them with very eager people and they're moving. I've used them with not so eager people and nothing happens. I don't know what that means. You know, you obviously can get into the whole idea of maybe if you're open to those things.
Psychology of your, well, yeah.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. There's the paranormal aspect of it. There's also like the, maybe it's all bullshit. I have no idea.
I would like to do one with you, Ezzy, just you and I, because I feel like I'm a good amount of skeptic. You're like straight up skeptic. I feel like I could bring out more of the skeptic in me when we do it to see if it actually works.
No, I believe in it all. I've never played it and not had the board move and move like violently, like the planchet moving like fast and violently.
So then what do you think is happening? I mean, do you think, because it's just a piece of cardboard with a bunch of letters written on it, right?
I tend to believe it's more of like a telekinesis thing, or like I'm subconsciously projecting something with my thoughts that is becoming movement.
Yeah,
like my energy.
I'm kind of with you on that. Yeah. Yep. I believe that.
That's interesting. So you're like admitting that it's probably you moving it, but maybe there's something telling your brain to do that. That is,
because it feels like a force. It feels like a force. It doesn't feel like I'm controlling it.
But. Sure. Sure.
I get that. I don't know. They're incredibly fun. They're incredibly spooky. And it's definitely something that I own and love to break out when, you know, closer to Halloween. For sure. One of my favorite quotes in this article is, perhaps the ghosts are getting bored too, is what John Tenney said, the paranormal researcher. His take is basically, since we're all stuck inside all day, maybe the ghosts are getting sort of annoyed by the people that are there now and are sort of acting out or sort of seeking attention, which is hilarious and very human. And I love that idea.
Yeah, the ghosts are probably pissed that they don't have any privacy now. Like they don't get any time to themselves to do ghost shit. Ghostly
shit.
What
the fuck else does a ghost do? How are they bored? What's on a ghostly agenda?
Yeah, I think they just sort of move things and they, you know, make wind blow against your face and they
well when I lived I briefly lived in a haunted house. I lived in the Magazzino funeral home in upstate New York, which was owned by this mob boss. Magazzino, who bought the funeral homes basically so that he could have a place to get rid of the bodies, like the mob kills. This is true. This is actually, like, I'm not exaggerating this at all.
It's insane.
And when I was working on the trauma film, we lived in this funeral home, this abandoned funeral home. And we had a lot of activity happening while I lived there. In fact, they wouldn't let me bring a Ouija board in because they were so freaked out. We had to, like, burn sage and everything. But we would hear them partying at night. Like, we could hear the ghosts, like, partying. Like, they were like,
fuck yeah.
This was, like, around in the 30s, like, 20s and 30s, Prohibition era. And, like, the ghosts were, like, having some bathtub gin and shit. You could hear it. It sounded like the sounds of people partying.
That's pretty awesome. I love the idea of ghosts partying. It's much better.
I don't know why I pictured, like, frat boys partying, but then you said Prohibition era.
And no, like, 20s and 30s, like.
Well, do you think they learn, though? Do you think, like, they kind of age with culture in a way? Like, do you think
they could be a bunch of rap music and
yeah, they're a bunch of 1930s dudes who are, yeah, listening to fucking trap and shit.
That's funny.
They're drinking like Monsters and Four Locos.
Damn, Sarah, that's definitely your era. I was thinking more like White Claw.
I never even had a Four Loco.
I haven't either. Okay, look, this is that
AMS.
You know what? That is my era. Fucking dudes in a Walmart parking lot in a fucking Honda Accord drinking Four Locos and smoking a blunt. That's like,
oh my God,
early 2000s bullshit that I had to put up with. You're welcome.
Worst generation.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree with you. Fucking terrible.
Yeah, the fall of society with Sarah's era. All right.
So funny. Okay, well, moving on to our next story. Would you be willing to take on a ghost as a roommate? That's right. Originally posted by Sylvia McLean on Facebook.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Keep going.
Not only could you fulfill your lifelong dream of sharing dishes duty with the restless spirit of the deceased, but you could do it for free. Apparently, there's a free haunted house being listed on Facebook.
Is it in, like, the fucking sticks of, like, Italy where there's no grocery stores and no fucking... just nothing's fun there? Is that where it is?
Oh, it's in the sticks of Louisiana.
Oh, sure. Is it really?
Yeah, it's
how
beautiful.
Close to New Orleans before I commit to taking this on.
I think it's pretty far away from New Orleans, unfortunately. No. But it also has a lot of other shit you need to do before you can move in. They estimate somewhere between $40,000 to $80,000.
They're like, you got to reshingle the roof. You have to repaint the walls. You have to...
Yep. Exactly.
That would be a classic reality show. Like, whoever moves in, it's just like them repair. It's like half home renovation and half like haunting show.
Yeah.
Look, if anyone wants to Venmo us $50,000 right now, the three of us will go live there. Yeah. We'll go live there. Now,
you actually don't even have to. I won't even do it repaired. I'll just go in there. I guess it just buy me a plane ticket.
Do we have to repair it?
Buy me a plane ticket to Louisiana, cover my rent in LA, and I'll live there.
I'm with you. Yeah. No, I'll go. I'll go.
That's it. Apparently, locals like. They compare it to like the Amityville Horror House, and a bunch of commenters on Facebook were saying it was well known for weird noises in the ceiling and walls and other unexplained happenings. According to the Mirror, former resident Don Fallo de Clau, whose family reportedly owned the property from 1860 through the 1980s, claims the house is haunted by the spirit of her great grandmother Adele. This is a quote. "We believe Adele is the ghost, but she's not menacing at all. She was probably like 4'9" and weighed about 100 pounds. The child told me.
I would love that. That's great. What the fuck is she going to do to me? That's me.
It's a U-sized ghost.
Oh, man. Sign me up. Sign me up. I'm ready. Just his grandma, like, cooking up in the kitchen some fucking good southern food and shit. Like, oh, that sounds great.
I guess I don't really understand why ghosts are scary. Like, if they're not doing, if it's just strange noises and, like, whatever, I don't care. Like, are they actually harming people? Like, Amityville was scary because they were trying to hurt people, you know?
Yeah.
Depends on the ghost, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, an old lady, what is she gonna do to me? Probably nothing.
Yeah, you know what?
Unless she has a grudge, unless she's like a Japanese old lady ghost who's like mad about.
Oh, yeah, life. Like South Korean or Japanese lady ghosts. No, I don't fuck with them.
The whole ghost lore is really interesting to me because it's like you die, and like a lot of the time it's like tragic death. Someone was murdered, someone killed themselves, whatever. And then you just become an idiot because you just start attacking everyone that had nothing to do with why you died. Like if you were murdered and then some nice sweet little family moves in and you start fucking terrorizing them, do you not know that these aren't the people that did it? And then also you become in just intensely malicious for no reason. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe only like assholes become ghosts. Maybe it's like the kind of thing where like, you know, if you're not an asshole sober, there's only so much of an asshole you're going to be drunk. Maybe it's like that. Like if you're not a complete and utter asshole, you won't become like a mischievous, malicious ghost who just fucks around with people and annoys them all day.
You just move on.
Yeah, maybe like I have a couple of specific people I would be interested in tormenting if I actually like am a ghost just because they were shitty to me. But regular strangers who had nothing to do wrong, like I'd probably haunt my friends just for fun because I'd be like, fuck, I want to like see. I want to go. I want to be at the party, man. I'm going to make
them. You know what? I never even thought about it, but I love that take. Ghosts are assholes and annoying.
They are.
All ghosts are just annoying people.
If I were a ghost, I would want to see my friends having sex.
That is dark.
Which one?
Do you have a list?
Just all of your friends?
Everybody.
I mean, do you ever just like look at your friends at like a party and you're like, I wonder what that person is like when they have sex?
Oh, I have completely done that before. But yeah. I'm a creep. We're three creeps.
not one so time.
You have done that. Everyone's done that.
Absolutely not.
100%. Yes, I've definitely thought,
I wonder what that person looks like naked. But I've never been like, My buddy over there is. I wonder what they look like having sex.
I wondered about the O phase.
They look like anyone having sex. What?
The O phase. Like some people, you could just tell would have a really funny O phase.
Yeah. Or you ever just see like your friends that are like a couple, and you're like, how do they have sex? Like, what are they into? Like, what? What if they're weird? You know, like I want to know that shit.
Yeah. What if they're like furries or something? No offense to furries. No offense to furries. We don't kink shame here at Three Creeps, but
we're pro furry podcast. No, I've never thought about that ever one time in my life.
Wow. I guess Sarah and I are.
I don't just live your life, Ezra.
Holding down the creep fort today.
Live your life. I mean, not like everybody. I don't like look at everybody and I'm like, what
is you're a friend of Sarah and you're listening to this, she definitely spends a lot of time thinking about what it looks like when you have sex.
Definitely,
for sure.
But then did you think about that like whole stupid thing then? Because like it becomes a slippery slope, right? Because if you believe in ghosts, like then you're just going to start thinking like, so is like my grandma a ghost and is she watching me have sex? Like, do you get tune out the people
you don't want?
Exactly. I would hope I would get to tune the people out that I don't want to see in intimate situations. Or like,
for sure.
Or like if it's my like lover who dies, like, and I'm still in the house, like, am I going to have to watch them? I mean, are they going to have to watch me bang the next person? I don't know. That's dark.
But you got to think about these things.
Have you ever seen a ghost story?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie A Ghost Story? Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Basically what happens. Yeah.
Documentary.
Sorry for spoiling the plot of A Ghost Story, but.
Yeah. It's just like porn for half of it. And the dude is just sitting. It's like cuck porn. It's like ghostly cuck porn for half the film. He just watches his girlfriend have sex with some other guy after he died.
I just know one of our friends, Ezra, I don't want to say her name, went to go see A Ghost Story. And then she like came home early and she was like, I walked out of the theater from seeing A Ghost Story. And I was like, why? She was like, honestly, it was like the first 20 minutes of Mara Rooney grief eating a pie.
Rooney Mara.
And I was like,
but yeah.
Oh, it's like, Rooney Mara. Sorry. What did I say? Did I say Mara Rooney?
Mara Rooney.
Oh. And I was like, you walked out because of what? That's kind of interesting to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Listen, very long, but
no, it was long. But that, I mean, it's that film is one of the best films to come out the last 5 years for sure. Absolutely. It's amazing. Chelsea, what's the next news story you got?
I can't wait to tell you. I'm definitely not reading off the screen right now. How low-budget horror movie The Wretched became America's number one film. The supernatural shocker expanded to 45 drive-ins this weekend. This was actually a couple of weekends ago now because we've delayed a little bit. The Wretched came out on May 1st. And yeah, basically, it was the number one film in America for 3 weeks, which was really crazy because it is such a low-budget horror movie. And this was mainly attributed to the fact that it's playing in these drive-in theaters, which is the only shared viewing experience we can have right now as moviegoers. Like, that's not just obviously at home watching Netflix watch party or whatever, public viewing. And it's great in my opinion because, you know, the drive-in movie has been such a part of the history of low budget horror movies and grindhouse movies like over the years, and it really did die out, you know. It like really, it's not been a popular thing anymore. I am sad to admit this. I've actually never been to a drive-in movie theater. So I'm really hoping to do it now that, yeah, I grew up in New York City. I went to the movies, but we're not a car culture, you know?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. I'm from the country. So yes. We fucking did it like every weekend.
What?
We all got trucks. I love the idea.
You went to the drive-in like routinely, Sarah?
Almost every weekend. Oh yeah, when we were kids. Fuck yeah.
That's so fucking cool.
In Ceres, California. Shout out to anybody who's there. I'm not from there, but that's where our drive-in was. They would have the old school box that you put like the speaker on your windshield.
Yeah.
And then they upgraded to tuning into a radio station to hear the movie.
There's just something about the horror movie that lends itself so well to the drive. I guess because like drive-in also always seems like the ultimate date kind of thing to me too. Like you're in your car, like making out with your date, watching like a movie you don't have to pay that much attention to. Like some kind of, you know.
Have you been to the drive-in, Ezra?
No, I've never been to the drive-in.
Whoa!
I think we have one in Oregon, like sort of further up north. Maybe like 100 miles or so from where I grew up. But no, I never went. You know what makes that that story you just told even less romantic though is that they're just in Honda Accords drinking Monsters at the drive-in.
That's all we did. We just smoked blunts, drank Four Locos.
I know.
And watched the drive-in. And then it becomes depressing.
Yeah, I'm imagining like a classic convertible and like... Nope. A James Dean lookalike with his arm around me, and we're like watching.
Honestly, it was more like NorCal bros with NorCal star tattoos in big lifted trucks at the drive-in.
Wow,
see that's so much worse than going to the movie theater.
Yeah, that is. At that point, I would say death to drive-ins. No, not really. I am really excited about it, and I know there's a new movie coming out. I think it comes out June 10th, but don't quote me on that, called Becky. That's like a thriller movie and like a girl who's like taking revenge on these thugs who are like torturing her parents or whatever. And like, that's going to be opening in drive-ins too. So it's like, there's a certain kind of movie that really lends itself well to that. And I would love to see, you know, because unfortunately for like low budget indie filmmakers, like while so much opportunity has opened itself up in terms of your film being seen, your film having a theatrical release is like nearly impossible these days, like without major money behind it, without a studio pickup like that. Like I've been involved in movies where we had to like book the movie theater for 2 weeks because that's all you could afford, you know, like, and people go to see it at the local art house, but it's not like, you can't just go to a theater and watch your movie, you know? So I think it'll be really cool for opening up, you know, indie yeah. film.
Yeah, I love it. But I'm with you. I think we should all go back to driving old cars and rolling our cigarettes up in our white t-shirt.
No, you don't need an old car? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There is a drive-in in downtown LA.
Really?
I don't know if it's still going on. It's probably reopened now, I imagine.
Yeah, you're right. Or it's like a pop-up.
I went there on a date. Just like a few years ago.
Was it fun?
We watched Blazing Saddles.
Ooh.
Yeah. You have to have a truck, honestly. Like if you're in your car, it's just kind of hard to see it. You really need like a flatbed.
Right. Okay.
Because you like set up with like a cooler and you got your fucking beer and you got fucking pillows and blankets. And
how many people per car allowed?
I mean, I don't remember if they charge you per car, but people would like hide in the trunk and shit. That was like the old school thing in like the 60s.
Hide in the
people
trunk?
Like, yeah, oh, like friends would like go in the trunk and that's how you'd get in. But
that's kind of fun.
I'm not that old. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. That was really interesting about the, I mean, obviously this is something we never expected to happen. Yeah. And it's really cool that a film like The Wretched absolutely probably would have gotten little to no attention at all.
Yeah.
At least in title alone got to be the number one movie.
Yeah, I mean, let's not, like, it did not make a ton of money still because almost nobody is really going to the movies. But
still, that's great.
Got to be number one.
Absolutely. What a great thing.
Yeah. Ezra, do you want to do our update? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to do that. So we've got an update on last week's story. If you remember, the woman who was standing on the freeway. It turns out she was driving on the freeway. We did not do a good job of reading that article.
Oh, that was my fault. That was my fault.
Blocking traffic, telling the world that her father was a serial killer. So apparently she's claiming that her father is the Texas 45 killer.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Me either. I'm sorry, the Texas Killing Fields serial killer.
Ooh.
Still, so I have heard of the Texas Killing Fields. I had no idea what that actually was. But I guess since the 1970s, more than 30 women have disappeared or been found murdered along Texas's Interstate 45 in the state's most notorious killing spree. So, yeah. So she's claiming that her father was the dude that did this. I think basically the common understanding or common belief amongst the police force is that it's not one killer. That these are just a bunch. Like, it's a really convenient place to kill people or drop bodies.
Right, okay.
But obviously it's like the Zodiac or any sort of unsolved case where, you know, people desperate for attention want to draw some sort of personal connection to these things. Whether or not she's telling the truth or knows what she's talking about is yet to be determined, but she was taken into custody by the police. Probably more for the blocking of traffic than the, oh my God, you're saying it's your father aspect of it.
Is her father still alive? Do we know that?
I think he is, yeah.
Even though I kind of think he's probably being crazy, but I don't know.
He's probably not still doing it, but he's probably old, right?
Well, it's interesting. So, yeah, so the first murder, or the first death attributed to this was Brenda Jones. She was 14 years old, and it was in 1971. And the last death was Teresa, I'm going to screw this up, Vanegas, maybe, in 2006. And that was on Halloween night is when she disappeared.
Whoa.
Spooky.
So yeah, so it's just a wide open space with little to no buildings, and you can kind of imagine having nowhere to run. It's a really easy place to you know,
right,
drop a body or whatever.
Damn.
And it's also along a highway, which is, you know, a lot of traffic, a lot of
I mean, this lady needs to publish a blog and not block traffic, honestly. Like,
yeah,
what is
it's
that
so
doing?
Performative, isn't it?
Although we are talking about her, so that says something.
Yeah, I guess we're giving her what
she
wants.
She got our attention.
Which is to be on a podcast.
So, Chelsea, do you want to give your movie pick of the week?
Yeah, I do.
Movie pick of the week.
My movie pick of the week is going to be something you can find on Amazon Prime if you have an Amazon Prime account. It is the movie The Lodge.
Oh, you've been telling me to watch this.
I know, I've been telling Sarah to watch it, but she hasn't yet. Oh, she wanted to, but she was home alone and scared.
I was alone and I was scared. I know. I have a horror podcast and I'm scared to watch horror films alone.
The Lodge is by the, interestingly enough, an aunt and nephew filmmaking team. And I think they might be like the only aunt and nephew filmmaking team out there, because it's just not usually something you see. Like, sometimes it's brothers, sometimes it's sisters, it's siblings, right? But you rarely see an aunt and nephew. And they had made the movie Goodnight Mommy, which I really loved. The Lodge is a really creepy, atmospheric, really just... a slow burn, but I like a slow burn when it's done well. I really think they get the atmosphere great. I really recommend it. But if you are somebody who has trouble with slow movies, I probably wouldn't recommend it. But if you can just hunker down, like, it's a perfect kind of quarantine movie, because it's like alone in a lodge for the weekend, you know, like cabin isolation movie. Yeah. Watch it. It's good.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't seen it yet. I remember when the trailer first came out for that movie, and I was really looking forward to seeing it. And then I didn't get any advertisements for it after that. There was no press or money put into that at all. And so I totally forgot about it. And then when you mentioned it, I was like, oh my God, that movie, that's right. And it's out and it's on Amazon. So I got to watch it.
Yes, you do.
As you want to do your pick?
Movie pick of the week.
I watched Antrim this week, and Antrim is a movie that I scrolled past many times, and the cover looked fucking stupid and I didn't want to watch it, and I read the description and I thought it was really gimmicky and silly, and then I, for whatever reason, clicked on it and thought the first 10 minutes. So the film is, they're kind of doing a play on like the cursed film thing, right? So they're presenting it as if there's this film, this horror film that was made in the 1970s, and it was only shown once, and the movie theater burst into flames and everyone died. And since then, no one's been able to see it. So the first 10 minutes of the film is like this mini mockumentary where they sort of set that premise up. And I thought it was done pretty well, surprisingly well. But even that, it was like, okay, you already almost lost me, because it's like that kind of thing is really, really risky. because if I don't buy it completely, then I don't really care to watch the rest of the movie, right?
I agree. Yeah.
But it was enough to kind of let, you know, make me intrigued to watch the first little bit of it. And I was absolutely blown away with the actual film inside of the movie. I thought was spectacular, especially for what I was expecting. I don't want to give anything away. I suppose it's streaming on Amazon Prime, so it's free if you have an Amazon Prime account. There are moments in it that were amazing. There, you know, it's not a perfect film. It's not a film that has, you know, obviously it's a very low budget film.
Right.
The filmmakers, I believe, are Italian or something like them. They're definitely not Italian. I fucked that up. They're European. And I guess they were working on a different project and kind of were just talking about cursed films that came up with this. But the movie is amazing for what it's worth. I mean, for what it is, for what they had working with it, there's a moment where a character is sort of reading this satanic passage underneath the sun, and the way they handle it is incredible. I mean, it's supposed to be a film shot on film, made in the 70s, and there are definitely moments where they use a, you know, I mean, there's a filter going on. They didn't shoot it in film, I don't believe. There's definitely a filter going over the entire thing that can at times feel a little silly, but for the most part, it doesn't. You forget about it. There are moments, there are shots that are beautiful. I could go on and on. And I love films like this that aren't at all masterpieces or aren't, there's sort of things that you expect to not be very good, but the actual filmmaking and the storytelling is surprising. It was a really good film. People are going to watch it and they're going to be like, this is boring, because it's slow too. Or they're going to say,
movie. I'm going to watch it tonight, honestly. After your description of it, I'm intrigued. So
yeah, and I would be interested to hear what you had to say about it, because it is not at all. I showed it to my dad, who I'm currently quarantined with. Immediately when you tell someone about a film, especially one that they'd never heard of, you immediately, at least I become immediately self-conscious, where I'm like, man, this better fucking live up to the expectations. Yeah. There are definitely moments in watching some of the stuff that I'd already seen, because I hadn't finished it, that I was like, is this as good as I remember it being? It is not a perfect film. It's such a silly critique or prerequisite to watching something. I think you should assume that with almost any film you watch.
Right.
It certainly falls in that camp of, there are things that you can immediately criticize about the film, but there are moments and there are ways in which the film is done, the story is told, and the scene is composed that feel very distinct and very, very surprising.
Is it a newer film? I've never heard of it.
It just came out, yeah.
Real quick here for me, because we're going to wrap this up.
Movie pick of the week.
I'm going to do The Entity from 1982. It's a true story set in Los Angeles about a poltergeist in a woman's home. And I will say that I was genuinely spooked out by it. And the soundtrack is like really fucking good. Like when the ghost, or quote unquote ghost, appears, there's like this guitar riff that goes on, which you don't really expect.
Ooh.
Yeah. Have you guys seen The Entity?
No. I mean, no? Okay. I think maybe a really long time ago, but I really don't remember anything about it.
It's great. It's great. It's on Hulu if you want to watch it.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Do you know the director? Is it anyone?
The director is Sidney Fury.
Not familiar.
Not
damn.
Either. Not either.
Cool. I'm going to watch both those movies this
cool.
week.
Cool, 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 cool. Cool, 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 cool.
All right, guys. Well, that's our news program for the week.
Jesse's rubbing his hands together.
I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm wearing my special hat. Good day.
That was the news.
All right, guys. That was fun.
With Tangents on Terra.
My line. That's my line. I say sluts. Goodbye, sluts.